everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Fairy Conclave. This is episode number 71. I'm your host, Alec. My pronouns are he, him, and joining me on the line, we have a returning guest. Welcome back to the show, Chase. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you? I'm excited to be back. I have a better microphone, and I'm excited.
I love it. Yeah, you sound great. It always feels good to get that like upgrade to your content setup.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I work from home, but I have this enormous podcast recording mic in front of my computer. So I'm just on like a work call, and everyone's, you know, they're like, "Why do you have such a big mic in front of you?"
You can always pick out the streamer or the podcaster by like who in the work call has those big chunky headphones and the microphone on an arm. And you're like, one of these things is not like the other.
Yep. It's true. Except in the meeting, I'm like, it's because I take my job very seriously.
Yeah. I'm a professional. What about you, Derek?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Come on.
All the Derek's out there. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. But step up your game. Also,
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so we've got you returning for another deck interview, which is super exciting. I love deck interviews because, for one thing, I like talking to people about their commander decks because it's something that I could talk about forever, and turns out a lot of other people are similar. So very excited for that. I also like getting to know people's kind of personalities that come through when they're talking about their decks. And I just think it's a good time. So I'm excited to have you back on to talk about another one of your commander decks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before we hop into it, let's do our community spotlight for the episode. That is the moment where we shout out another Magic content creator, because there are so many of us and there are so many really incredible ones. And we always like to take a few minutes to shout out another content creator because that's what we're here for. Like, we want to talk about people's content and shine a spotlight on it if we can. So yeah, during this episode, we're going to shout out Lexi, also known as Black Girl Mage on Twitter. Yeah, and this shout out suggestion came from you, Chase. Could you give us a little background?
Yeah, so I recently had the insane pleasure of playing with Lexi on a couple streams. I had her on my stream, and I played with her on Olivia's stream. And she is an absolute delight. She is a D&D personality, but has been picking up Magic and playing some Commander. And she just has really fun decks. She has a great personality. I just really recommend viewing her content, playing Commander with her, or even just, you know, following her on Twitter. Like, 10 out of 10. I love Lexi. So I wanted to just give a shout out to Lexi.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. I have already followed on Twitter, and you should as well. So I'll have links to Lexi's content and Twitter and whatever link tree I can find down in the episode description, so you can check it out too. Yeah, so I think it's time. Oh, I guess also, I kind of just assumed everyone knows who you are, Chase, which is a fair assumption, I think. But
oh, please. Not at all.
But yeah, so if you don't know Chase, also known as Mana Curves on Twitter and also in a lot of other places, would you like to give us a little bit of background on the content that you're creating lately, too?
Yeah, of course. Hi, lovely people listening. My name is Chase, also known as Mana Curves. My pronouns are they, them. And I am a Commander content creator. I stream Paper Commander, and I also stream Commander deck building on my Twitch channel. I also write articles for TCG Player about Commander, deck building, and fun stuff like that. And I occasionally post to YouTube whenever the mood strikes me. Twitch is I'm a streamer at heart, so uploads are kind of difficult for me, but I'm a streamer. So you can find my content on Twitch and Twitter, Mana Curves, as well as TCG Player under my name, which is Chase Carroll.
I love it. Yeah. If anyone out there, if there's a recent legendary creature that has come out that you're interested in building a commander deck around, Chase has probably done a stream building that deck, and you should definitely check it out. It's always super helpful. I really like how Not a lot of people get the chat involved in building decks, mm-hmm. and I just think that's really fun and cool. It's it's a fun kind of like hive mind thing of putting a deck together, which is really fun to watch.
I love it a lot because I always recommend brewing collaboratively, whether you're doing it like on a stream or like with friends, because you just get opened up to so many things that you would not have thought of at all ever. Probably every single one of my decks that I've ever built has been touched by chat in some way in terms of a recommendation or weird sort of synergy that I just never would have thought of. So it's always super fun for me because I feel like I've learned a lot and grown a lot as a deck builder because of it.
That's really cool. It's something that I think is really unique and fun about Commander decks specifically is they do kind of feel like a group project sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, I don't think I have ever built a deck from start to finish and not at least asked my play group or a friend or two to take a look over it and see if they have any suggestions or something. And I like that a lot. Just kind of, it's a fun social element to kind of bringing people together to talk about Commander.
Exactly.
Sweet. Okay, I am excited for today's Commander. So let's dive into the interview. And the first question I have for you is, who is your Commander and what inspired you to build this deck in the first place?
So the Commander today is the Gitrog monster. And what inspired me to build this deck was it was a little weird because it doesn't make much sense. But I saw that the Judge promo had been announced for the Gitrog monster, and I really wanted it. Mm. And my boyfriend, he is no longer a judge, but he surprised me for I think it was a holiday. It was either Christmas or my birthday or something. I don't remember, where he surprised me with the Judge promo because I really wanted it. And I was like, oh, this is cute. I like this card. It's really pretty. I like the artist. And then I I got a booster box for Midnight Hunt, and I pulled a Renin 7, and I was like, well, now I have to build it. I don't know why my brain made that connection in that way, but Renin 7 was the inspiration to build the Gitrog monster, and it just kind of happened that way.
That's such an honest like start to a Commander deck. I've definitely had a few myself that are, I like this art, I have this card, like, I just have to build it now. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have a choice. I just have to put it together.
It's kind of weird, but it worked out that way, and here we are.
Yeah, it's, I think that's a really great way to start building a deck, because then you know you'll just have a good time, because you like the card enough on its own so much. Mm-hmm. And I kind of find, if I've been thinking about the card a lot, like, you know, if I'm waiting at the dentist or something, and I'm just like, the Gitrog monster... what could I do with that? Then I know it's kind of, it's time to start putting that together.
Yeah, the Gitrog monster. I too think about that when I'm at the dentist.
I thought that would be kind of a relatable thing to throw out there. So.
Oh, totally. Kindred spirits.
That's perfect. And then also the full art, borderless Renin 7. Gorgeous. Yeah.
I know. I really wanted a foil, like, desperately, but I didn't get one in my box. But I got a full art, and I was like, well, you know, I'm okay with this. You know, like, this isn't, like, the worst thing. it's better than nothing. So I took it and ran with it, and it kind of influenced sort of the quote-unquote theme, and I use that word very loosely because it's not, like, a deck ability theme, more so like an aesthetic. It just kind of influenced it from there.
Okay, yeah, I like that a lot. It's kind of this art in particular has a very like Halloween
weeny yes
yeah I like that a lot. I always kind of try to infuse some kind of the kind of planes flavor, I guess, into a deck. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Around the Commander. So yeah, makes perfect sense for Gitrog monster to have spooky Halloween sub theme, I guess, aesthetic theme. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that's great. Okay, so yeah, it's pretty recent then, or I guess not super recent, since Midnight Hunt was like 18 sets ago, but at least since you first put the deck together, what kind of history and changes have you made to it since then?
Oh my God, it's gone through so many changes. So it originally started out as like a casual Gitrog deck, where I just kind of put in some landfall cards and was like, okay, it's like a landfall Gitrog deck. But then the more I started playing it, the more fun I was having with it, and I wanted more of a challenge. I don't like my decks to be very linear. I like to have it be a puzzle I'm constantly trying to solve. And I always think it's really fun to kind of have a deck that does that for you. And so I felt like the landfall was too linear. So I started upgrading it to be more and more competitive. I would not say it is at CDH level, but I'm saying it's CDH adjacent. It's getting there. But it went from like, you know, like Rampaging Baloths and like Titania and like Retreat to Hagra to, I think Retreat to Hagra is the black one. I think,
but
then
right.
And then it kind of, went to stuff like, Wild Mongrel, Scourge Familiar and stuff like that, leaning really heavily into the Dakmor combo. And it also has changed aesthetically a lot too. Like it went from like being sort of like, these are the cards I have to, I really want to like invest in this deck. And I made it, what I call quote unquote decorated, which Ooh. Is all the cards in here are either foil, alt art, promos, signed, or like secret lairs. To kind of give it that little extra thing, because I kind of view myself as a magpie. I like shiny, pretty things. So I was like, why not? We're investing in it. Let's just go the extra mile.
That's really cool. It's always a treat to kind of sit down and play a game with somebody, and then they start playing cards, and they're all like, yeah, special editions or foils, and you can tell they just put their heart and soul into that. Yeah, I think that's really cool and special. So. Yeah, thank you for sharing. I know definitely looking through just the Moxfield list, which will be in the description in the episode if you want to check it out too. But yeah, it's very shiny. Like the foils are coming in hot in this deck list.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's really cool. Yeah, and I also, talking about decks that are linear and kind of trying to build them to avoid that, I think that's the same kind of thing that I run into sometimes. I totally agree. It's we're kind of here, we're playing a silly format where you play 100 card piles, right? So you want to have some variety. But I really appreciate that you are able to kind of combine that with still having a very high power level. I think it's it's sometimes if you go higher power, it tends to become more linear. I know in decks like this, I can already tell it's extremely complicated to pilot. So
it is. Yeah. It's definitely a deck that is so difficult to explain.
And to kind of start doing that a little bit, I totally understand how it works. So I'm fine. But for anyone out there who, you know, maybe doesn't understand how the Dakmor Salvage combo works that you mentioned earlier, could you give us an explanation of what exactly that is?
Yeah, so the Dakmor combo is oh my God, there's like a whole primer written about it, and I had to like read that up and down explain it even like remotely. But Gitrog says you sacrifice him unless you sack a land at your upkeep. You can play an additional land on each of your turns, and whenever one or more land cards are put into your graveyard from anywhere, you draw a card. So the way that Dakmor combo works is Dakmor is just a land that taps for black that also has the dredge ability. It's dredge 2. And so what you want to do is you want to get a discard outlet onto the battlefield. It can be any discard outlet. My particular deck likes to win with the card Scourge Familiar, which is 4 and a black for 3/2 with flying, and you can discard a card to add 1 black to your mana pool. Mm. And how I win with this deck is I have Dakmor in my hand. I discard to Scourge Familiar. Gitrog will trigger. I dredge, and then I essentially kind of keep doing that until I generate an infinite amount of black mana. And normally you would die with Gitrog because you would eventually like dredge lands into your graveyard and you would draw cards. But I have some graveyard shufflers in my library, like Ulamog, the Infinite Gyre, and Gaia's Blessing. So I would just shuffle my graveyard back into my library and keep doing it until I get enough black mana and do the draw triggers on the stack and essentially just dump all of that black mana into either an Exsanguinate or a Torment of Hailfire.
Awesome.
Okay. And I probably even butchered that explanation, too. No, yeah. It's so difficult.
It makes sense. I totally believe that. I mean, there are a lot of different pieces there, right? You need your like discard outlets, your sacrifice stuff, a few different pieces. And I know a lot of cards kind of do similar things to the ones you mentioned. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I bet putting that together can be, like you said earlier, like putting a puzzle together.
Yeah, it definitely is.
That is really cool, though. I like that combo a lot. It's kind of sometimes when I get an Exsanguinate or a Torment of Hailfire against me, it's not like an infinite amount of mana. It'll be like 8 or 9 or something high. So I might still survive. I'll just be really sad about it and kind of wish it had killed me. So
yeah,
I like this. It definitely, you know, you're going to have enough mana to make sure it's enough for everyone to lose the game.
Exactly. It's very much overkill.
Nice. Yeah.
But it's fun.
Yeah, that's really fun. I love those cards as win conditions too. It's just it's something about them, just very explosive. Cool. Okay, so the next question I've got for you is just what is kind of your favorite thing about playing this deck? What brings you joy when you're playing this deck?
I just really enjoyed like the process of it. I like getting multiple land drops a turn. There's just something about that that's very fun. And also like what we also talked about too, about, you know, the puzzle of it, you know, solving getting there. It's always a challenge. It's always fun. Even if I have like, let's say Scourge Familiar and Dakmor, sometimes I don't have the my mana sinks, and so it's kind of fun to like figure out how to get there, or like I just tutored for something but somebody exiled my Scourge Familiar and I was like, what am I gonna do? It's always just really fun to like essentially just play it out and figure out the puzzle, because this one is so complex compared to my other decks. It is, you really have to like put your full focus into playing it, which is why I really like it so much, because it always plays out differently. And I just think it's really fun. Like sometimes I don't even win with Dakmor. Sometimes I just win with like squandered resources and I sack all my lands and sink all that mana into the torment instead. It's just really fun.
That's cool. Yeah. And sometimes just casting Ulamog and having that out is enough to win the game too. So
yep. I've done that before too. I was like, this is a Hail Mary. I don't have any of my win cons. Let's just get a big boy because I have all the mana for it. Why not? But it's just really funny.
Yeah, that's good. Sweet. Yeah, that sounds fun to me. This deck is kind of right up my alley. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me, your description of how complicated it is kind of reminded me, I did an episode a little while ago with Joey from EDH Rec.
Yes, Joey.
Yes, and we talked about how we have, at least for me, I have decks split into two categories, and it's the beginning of the night decks and then the end of the night decks.
Yeah.
And this is like the perfect example of a beginning of the night deck where, you know, your brain is fully functioning.
Yep.
Maybe you're having a White Claw or something while you're playing, but you're just on the first one, so you can still figure out how to kind of put all the pieces together, and I think it's great for that. I love having a super complicated kind of deck to challenge myself with. I think that's really cool.
Exactly. I always thought that I was a little like, just I couldn't grasp the combo. I was like, oh god, I can't play this commander, I'll never understand it. But like, I know how it functions, I know how the combo works. Walking through it will take forever and a day, but like I know how to do it. So it's like, it was also kind of a challenge to myself, because I was like, oh man, I can't do this, this isn't for me. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna make it for me, and it works, and I enjoy it a lot.
I like that. I definitely get intimidated by more combo-centric strategies sometimes. For that reason, I don't know if I'm smart enough to figure them out a lot of the time, but
exactly. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, man, I'm not smart enough for this. I'm like, no, I can do this.
Right. Yeah. You got to hype yourself up. Like,
yeah,
I know how magic works. Like, I can figure this out.
Yeah. I'm like, this game is 13 and up, and I'm at least 13 and up, you know? So like, I'm 25. I can do this.
We can figure it out. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Put my two brain cells together and yep. Play a card game.
I love it. Sweet. So we have talked a lot about the kind of like path to victory for this deck.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else you want to talk about in terms of just kind of general goals for this deck? Or maybe even kind of like the play groups you're playing with, if you have goals when you're kind of setting up and wanting to play this deck, anything like that?
So besides, you know, winning with Dakmor, because this is a very competitive deck. This is not a deck that I would be like, oh, I want to like have a chill game of Commander with my friends. This is like, hey, like we're all amping it up. Let's power up. Let's win. You know, that's what this deck is. And the goals, what this deck wants to do is ramp very, very, very quickly. So like your extra land drops is very important to get out. Like, what is it? Oracle Moldiah, like Wayward Swordtooth, Azusa is really great to get early. You know, having access to that. Looking at the top card of your library is something it wants to do too, like with Augur of Autumn and Courser of Kruphix. But it really wants to just get a lot of lands out and get Draug out and just start getting value and getting that card draw, which is always great, especially if you have a Crucible of Worlds and your fetches. You know, that's also super, super, super good for it, too. Yeah. Besides doing the Dakmor thing, that's kind of the main goal for it. But it's definitely a deck that I would consider to be, like, one that you whip out with your pod or your friends after going, okay, we're going to ramp it up. This is a lot stronger than, like, my Chandra or my Alabu or even my Locust God. This is quickly skyrocketed to be, like, my... all right, it's getting late kind of deck, you know, and that's kind of the vibe of it.
Yeah, I've had a couple games on Spell Table where somebody has to leave in the next 30 minutes and you're like, all right, everyone just get like the fastest, strongest deck you've got, let's go.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, which of course still ends up taking an hour and a half, but it's always but that's a good like, try.
But an hour and a half is like 2 minutes, you know, for Commander.
Right, yeah.
It's always pretty short.
Yeah, that's... in Commander players' years,
yeah,
that's
it's like,
how that works.
Yeah, definitely. Time has no meaning, so it's fine.
Cool. Yeah, I think just having a deck like that—that's kind of your baby that you have no kind of cap on power level for—and then just being super open about that. Like this one, it's if you want to compare it to one of my other decks, it's way stronger and faster. So yeah, you pick out a deck that is similar.
Yeah,
and. Cool. Yeah, I think that's a good way to do it. And that makes a lot of sense, too. I think the Gitrog monster is kind of an engine for this deck on its own, but you do kind of have to have the land, at least the land set up before you get Gitrog out for that. So
really, yeah. You do.
That makes a lot of sense. Cool. Okay. Yeah, and so now that we know kind of how the deck functions... what would you say are some of this deck's weaknesses that you might struggle playing against?
Oh my god. So I've had this happen a few times and I need to work with it. But like the way I have my particular deck built is that it strongly favors Scourge Familiar as your discard outlet. Because how I like to win is sink the black mana into like Torment or Exsanguinate. If I do not have Torment or Exsanguinate, or I cannot get them from the graveyard, or if they're exiled, it becomes a big challenge for me to win. I have to find other ways to do it, and that can be rather difficult in this deck because it's so narrowly tuned to win in that way. I've had some people tell me to run Praetor's Grasp as another sort of win con with like the Scourge Familiar Dakmor thing, which I agree. And another way I could win is through, dealing a lot of damage with Opting Xillus, the 5-mana one that, you know, land enters the battlefield. And you can deal damage that way, but it's a little slower compared to the other ones. So the biggest weakness, I would say, is because it's so narrowly focused on its win con that if they're just gone. I can't really do much against that, and it's going to be a bit of a struggle for me.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. And being not in the colors that have like counter spells, which might be kind of the easiest way to protect those like key creatures that you have. Yeah, I could see that being at least one weakness that green have, which might not be a long list, but
yeah, they have treasures now, so it's all. Yeah.
Oh man, we could do a whole episode on that one.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I'll try not to rant about that too much on this episode, but yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think adding those additional kind of win conditions as backup win condition makes a lot of sense, or protection for the ones that you have. But I also understand the kind of tension there, because you have your deck already like tuned to do the thing. And so it's hard to be like, okay, what do I take out to protect it or add those other things in? One thing that is very hard as a deck builder to figure out.
Yeah.
It's always good to kind of go through your deck's weaknesses. And sometimes when I lose a game really badly, I'm like, I just want to forget it. But I'm trying to be like, no, how could I have maybe interacted with what happened a little bit more? Tried to, make it work a little better. So, cool. And the next question I've got for you is, do you have any notable cards in this deck that you want to shout out that maybe fill some normally like more generic roles like card draw or mana ramp?
In all honesty, this deck is literally nothing but like weird cards filling those roles. Like I have a Lotus Cobra serves as a way to ramp up by getting more mana by just playing a ton of lands. In terms of like card draw, the Gitrog monster himself functions as that too, which I really enjoy. You know, that cool fun card draw. There's a card in here that I run. And I really like it. And I feel like a lot of people are like, you shouldn't run that. It's, you know, why are you running that? But like, I really like Dark Ritual in this deck. Oh, yeah. I don't know why. I really just enjoy like putting it in here just to kind of give me that little extra oomph. And another notable one, I actually put these two in here. If you ask me if I would have these in any other of my decks, I would tell you no, because I typically don't like them. But I like them in Gitrog. For card draw, would be Necropotence and Sylvan Library.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Those classic.
A little bit more infamous.
Yeah, infamous is a good word. Enchantments.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense, though, because they synergize really, really beautifully with Gitrog Monster.
Oh, yeah. And for removal, I like Deathsprout because it also gets you a land. Mm. And that adds, like, it's kind of a dual function of, like, ramp and removal, which I really enjoy.
Yeah. I've always enjoyed how that card is an instant, too. Like, it always, you don't get a lot of, like, rampant growths that are instant speed. So it's nice to have that option.
Oh, exactly.
I think also Gitrog is just so interesting for, like, trying to figure out card draw for Gitrog deck must be pretty weird, because it turns things like Noose Constrictor, which is I've never seen this played anywhere else. when you add like discard a card, it gets +1/+1, also draw a card. That changes things quite a bit.
It really does. Like I really don't have any card draw built into this deck other than, you know, those two enchantments I said, because your commander is card draw, so you don't ever really have to worry about it. Like he ramps himself up really quickly, and then you just sack lands, discard lands, play fetches, and then you're just drawing tons of cards.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think it's a lot more fun to build decks that way, because it's more unique. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not putting that Read the Bones in like your 14th deck you've put Read the Bones into.
Yeah.
You've got some more unique options instead, which I really like when you're able to do things like that.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so this next question, it might honestly just be this whole deck, considering how much work you put into it. But do you have any pet cards that you just can't resist playing in this deck?
One of them is definitely that Dark Ritual. It's not, in my opinion, it's not a necessity to the deck. Honestly, I could probably put in another ramp spell. But I really like this Dark Ritual because I bought it when I first started playing Magic, like within the first like 6 months of me playing Magic. It's the Rebecca Gay art from Mercadia Masks, I think, and I have it signed by her. And I've held on to that for 6 years and it finally has a use, but it makes me so happy. Like when I look at it, the art is just so gorgeous. Like Dark Ritual is usually like, ooh, blood, guts, bleh, dead person. But like this one is just like three dudes chilling out in a cloud of purple smoke with some watercolors. And I just really like it. And Rebecca Gay is one of my favorite artists. So it's definitely a pet card, but mostly in this deck, the pet cards are art.
Yeah.
There's just so many alt arts in here. That it really makes me happy every time I look at the cards. Like my Dryad of the Elysian Grove is a personal favorite. My Birds of Paradise, my Crucible of Worlds, my Demonic Tuner, all of them are like very, very different with their art. And every time I look at it, I just get really happy.
That's so cool. I think that's one thing I've really liked in the last couple years. A lot of the really... like popular cards, especially for Commander, have just been getting so many like beautiful alternate arts, and the like artist series where an artist can pick out some cards to paint and do artwork for, I think is just really cool. And that's one of my favorite parts, at least, is customizing your cards and having more options is so fun. I just love doing stuff like that.
Oh, for sure. It's Commander is the format for self-expression and creativity, and to kind of amp it up to the umpteenth level. Having those multiple printings, I really enjoy. I know that it's an acquired taste for some people, but I really like it because I can customize my deck to my own tastes and, you know, have it be something very personal, which I really enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same way. When I first started playing, it was... I guess I took a break for a while, but when I really kind of got back into it and learned about Commander, which kind of got me sticking around, it was around the time in Core Set 2015 where they like changed the borders to be black on the bottom and have more consistency across borders, and that was kind of a hot topic at the time. And I remember being so specific. If there were like multiple versions, I like had to have the specific one that I wanted for each of my decks. Yeah. And I was just always like that. And it was literally like this black strip on the bottom was the only difference. I'm like, no, it has to be the right one.
I mean, I used to do that before they did a lot of alternate art treatments. I used to do that with set symbols. If there was a reprinting of a card, but it had a set symbol that I liked more than the cheaper one, I'm like, man, I want the one with the set symbol that looks pretty. So I'd opt for that. I mean, like, it was like little things like that that made your deck more personal to yourself. Like, I always thought that was kind of fun. Like, especially now with the framing for legendaries too. Like, some legends don't have that little, you know, gilded looking sort of frame on the top. And I think that's also kind of a fun, you know, thing. Like, some people want it, some people don't, and some people have the option to go back in time and grab something that's different.
Yeah, I think it's really special. And what you said about the set symbol really kind of hits me too, because I've for sure spent, you know, $4 or $5 extra dollars just to have a set symbol I thought was cuter, which might sound silly to a lot of people, but it I'm glad you understand.
Yeah, sometimes you want the little Lorwyn elf ear rather than, you know, the M19 symbol or something, you know?
Yeah, it's true. I remember, I don't know why I just thought of this, but I remember specifically spending quite a bit more getting Animate Deads with the Eternal Master symbol because I liked the Hourglass set symbol more than whatever other options there were at the time. I was like, that set symbol, it's just so good. Oh man, that's good. Okay, so as far as the strategy of the deck, what card would you say is the MVP, or like the one that you want to see every game, kind of in order to get your game plan moving along?
So Scourge Familiar is definitely that key piece that I need. It's what I need. Like, I can Dakmore I need, but, you know, I can get it, you know, through certain fetchings, you know, things like that. It's fine. But the Scourge Familiar is a little harder to get. Dakmore and Scourge Familiar are my top two. Like, those are like the key pieces that make it win. If I have to say that there is a really synergistic piece that I really like Scapeshift a lot. I think it's really fun because you can just sack your sacrifice like your basics, and then you just get lands, which can help you get like Dakmor or Cabal Coffers, Urborg, Ancient Tomb, Besage You. Like, it gets you all the things that you need, which I really like. And if you have certain cards out, like Omnixilis, that's also just extra damage added on there too. I really enjoy. So definitely, like, the key, like, combo pieces are definitely, like, MVPs. But in terms of, like, fun little synergies, I really like Scapeshift a lot. Because you get a lot of cards in your graveyard that triggers Gitrog. You draw a ton of cards. And you can also just get any lands you need, which I think is super fun.
Gotcha. Yeah, I like that a lot. I think Scapeshift is, it's probably one of my favorite cards in any deck that has, like, synergies with lands. And this one's pretty, I can see that being pretty intense, like Scapeshift, draw a bajillion cards from Gitrog Monster, and get a bunch of other random triggers on other stuff, too. Yeah, I like that a lot. And I was going to shout out some of the lands in this deck if we didn't get a chance to do it. But yeah, I really like that Field of the Dead is in here. I've been Scapeshift Field of the Dead murdered more than a couple times, so I can always appreciate that one. Yeah, and then also just your choice of artwork and frames on these, particularly the all-text Terramorphic Expanse.
Yes, I love that. I actually just swapped it out. I still have it, but I swapped it out because my friend was selling his collection, and he invited me over to go through it. And in his collection, he had a foil signed, like a shadowed signed Terramorphic, and I was like, ooh, I really like signatures. So I swapped back and forth between the full art one, full text one, and the one with the signature. It's just, I'm a sucker for signatures. I don't know why. I think they're really cool.
I am too. I've only been to one Magic Fest. I really got into it at the end of 2019, and I was like, okay, 2020 is my year of going to Magic Fests. And we all know that didn't quite work out that way. So
it's really funny because it was going to be my year too. I literally was like, I'm going to this, I'm going to this, I'm going to this. And then it was like, nope, you're not going to anything.
Yep. Yeah, I did get a whole bunch of signatures from artists in the Seattle Magic Fest at the end of 2019. So I've always I've always cherished those, and I'm excited to kind of get the opportunity to get signatures in person again. And because I like those too. I think it's really cool to to have the person who created the artwork, which we all appreciate, on the on the card that you play.
Exactly.
Also, just, talking about lands, Boseju must be such a banger in this deck. Like, absurd.
It really is. It's quite shocking how good it is. I was thinking of putting the Black Channel land in here, but, like, I was running low on basics for my fetches, so I was like, I'll just wait. But Boseju is really good in here. It just does so much. The fact that it just comes into play untapped is just a, green land is cool. But the channel itself is so cheap that even if I do have a Gitrog, it wouldn't matter. Like, two mana is nothing. And I've used it to get rid of some really pesky artifacts and enchantments. And the fact that, with things like Crucible Worlds and Ramen Up Excavator, you can just, channel it, have a go to the graveyard, and then draw a card from the Gitrog, and then play it from your graveyard, and then that's pretty sweet, I think.
Yeah, it's absurd that just the channel ability, it causes you to discard it, which triggers Gitrog. So it's like, how do we make this already, like, pretty absurd card even stronger? I'd draw a card at the end of it. Like,
exactly. Wild. It's like a one mana destroy something, your opponent gets a land, but you also draw a card. I'm really happy with that, sure.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that must be one of the most perfect for Gitrog cards printed recently.
I love it. And I pulled a foil when I opened my box, and I was so happy. I was like, this is going in the frog. Ooh. Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's good. I can't get over that. That's just too perfect.
I know. It was so exciting.
Okay, so this next question, I think, is... one I'm really excited to hear about. So what has been one of your favorite kind of in-game moments that you've had while you've been playing this deck?
One of my favorite in-game moments, I was playing in my LGS, and I was unfortunately, I just didn't have my my Dakmor combo with me at all. And I was really struggling, like hardcore struggling. But I had in my hand, I had a Torment of Hailfire. And I was like, okay, I can't do the Dakmor win. But then I looked on my board and I was like, okay, I have this. I can win this. But it was just really scary. And I had Cabal Coffers and Urborg out. So I tapped like Cabal and Urborg and got like, I don't even remember. It was like maybe like 9 mana to my mana pool or something. And then I tapped the rest of my lands. And then I had Squandered Resources out and I sacrificed all of my lands. Like, it was just me and one other person. Ooh. And I was like, I can do this. Because they had me on like my next turn. I just sacked all my lands. I didn't even have Gitrog out. I just had lands and Squandered. And I was like, I can do this. And I tapped everything, sacked my lands to Squandered Resources to get even more mana. And then I sank all of it into Torment. And I'm like, Torment for some obscene number. It was like 20-something or whatever. It's like, Torment. Can I win this? And I did. But it was just really funny because it was one of those moments where, like, I had just my commander had just been removed so much and he cost so much and I could not. I was like, I'm just gonna try. And I just sunk everything. And it was just, it's such a simple win, but it was also really funny because it was a Hail Mary. Like, when I say I sacked all my lands, I mean, I literally like all lands into the graveyard. Like, it looked like I had just sat down across this guy from randomly. And just was like, okay, let's give this a try. And it worked. I won, but it was really funny.
Amazing.
Because I was like, no lands. We're just chilling out.
Yeah. That's like the S tier, just full send. Like, if this doesn't work, it's over for me. But let's do it. See what happens.
It's so funny and kind of liberating to just be like, okay, I sacrifice all of my lands. Like, you tap them, you get the mana, you sack them. I have no more lands. It's just really funny to do. I'm going to be really honest.
Yeah. Especially if you have no plans of like getting them back or some kind of, next step. Like, this is it. We're going for it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Thank you for sharing. That is a fantastic time. I'm sure Gitrog has led to some pretty absurd moments in Commander games.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah, that's fantastic. I love that one. Okay, we have made it to our final question that I've got for you. And that is, what advice would you give to other players out there, possibly myself also, who are looking to build Gitrog Monster and kind of want to try it out?
Mm. I recommend researching, which I know doesn't always sound fun. It can be, but researching, reading the primer can help you explain the combo. Watching videos, my recommendation is watch the Spike Feeders video with Rebel about Gitrog. It's always super helpful. It's such a complicated combo. And having that understanding is going to be key. I also would recommend playing it in a group of like really good friends too first, which sounds really weird. But when I first played my Gitrog deck, I was really fortunate enough to be playing in a group of friends who looked at me and they go, "Hey, you know you can win right now." And I said, "What?" And they're like, "Yeah, you can win right now." And they walked me through it and they helped me win. But I really appreciated that because it is such a complex deck, and it's really good to have that understanding. But you might not always experience that, which is really rough. I've had people get frustrated or upset at me because, you know, I explain the combo and they want me to walk it out. But it takes like a really long time to walk it out and actually play the combo out. And so having that understanding of the combo, but also, you know, like trying to practice it with people who, you know, are going to like meet you with kindness on it is also really important too. That's just my experience, but that's what I would recommend, is like learning about it and then testing it out slowly with friends and peers and stuff before you take it to like insert LGS table here, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that's really good advice for this deck and also decks like it that are, maybe similar kind of amount of complicated. It's, my playgroup that I play with in person is very similar. Like, if they see something that that either I missed or like something like that, like a way to win that I can't see because I've had too many white claws already. They're like happy to point it out, which I love. But yeah, I understand there's not always a time and place for that if you're I don't know, recording or streaming or trying to get the time in at the local game store or anything like that. I think that's good advice, and also it's more fun to kind of stumble through things like that with people you're comfortable with anyway. So
yeah,
I like that. Maybe for any deck in general too, but also especially a deck like this.
Yeah, for sure. One that takes a lot of time, and it genuinely is a deck that I think takes practice. Like, I feel way more comfortable and confident now with demonstrating the combo and explaining it, especially like on stream, as opposed to when I first started playing it, where I had no idea and I was confused and a little nervous and felt a little dumb. But I had really nice people who helped walk me through it and be like, okay, this is how this works, this is how this functions, you can do this, and you win. And I was like, oh, thanks. And it's just really nice to kind of have that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think something that I also have been kind of trying to do more lately is become like more masterful with the decks I already have built. It's really tempting to build new commander decks every time I see a cool new legendary and then only play it a few times before, you know, the next one comes out. But yeah, there's something really nice about like knowing a deck inside and out and how the interactions are going to work and kind of mastering it. And I don't know, there's something kind of rewarding about that, I guess.
I would definitely agree.
Yeah, and I imagine the combo involved here, mastering that, is even like exponentially more rewarding. So thank you.
It definitely is.
Thank you for introducing us to it. I'll admit I've never attempted or seen that combo in action, but I'd like to. It sounds really cool, and with a lot going on. And I can also see how removing Gitrog Monster over and over is probably the best way to kind of keep it from happening.
Yep, you gotta remove them before I get that discard outlet. You gotta. You just gotta.
I like it. Makes a lot of sense. Sweet. Okay, well, we've made it. Thank you so much for letting me ask you a whole bunch of questions about your Gitrog Frog.
Yeah, deck. Of course.
It was a ton of fun. I always enjoy having you on to talk about Magic.
And thank you.
Yeah, it's always a good time. So, before we kind of sign off, would you like to shout out anything or kind of, tell us about any upcoming content you want to plug or anything like that?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I always have fun, and I really appreciate it. It's always cool to talk about decks and deck building. To lovely folks, my name is Chase. I'm also known as Mana Curves. You can find me everywhere at Mana Curves. I post a lot on Twitter. That's where I usually post all my content. But you can find me streaming on Twitch 3 times a week, and you can also find me on TCG Player writing articles about Commander. So you should definitely check it out.
Yes, 100%. You should definitely check it out. And yeah, I'll make it easy for you. I'll put links to all of those things Chase just listed in the episode description below. So yeah, definitely go check those out. And if you want to get a hold of me or the Fairy Conclave, we have a Discord, Instagram, Twitter, and a couple other links down in the description below too. We also started putting these episodes up on YouTube. So our podcast will be on YouTube with a nice little Fairy Conclave background, which I think is neat. And and also if anyone else out there has a deck that you would like to come on the show and talk about with me, I would be happy to do that anytime. Definitely reach out if you're interested in that. Besides all of that, have a good rest of your day. Welcome to the Fairy Conclave, and I hope to see you next time.